A landmark deal to unblock Ukraine's grain exports and help ease a global food crisis is this morning hanging in the balance after missiles hit the port of Odessa. It comes just one day after Ukraine and Russia signed an agreement brokered by the United Nations and Turkey to restart grain exports from Black Sea ports. Moscow has claimed responsibility for the attack, which Kyiv has described as barbarism, saying it showed the Kremlin could not be trusted to implement the deal.
Russia's missile attack on Odessa, on our port, is a cynical one, and it was also a strike to the political positions of Russia itself. If someone in the world could still say that some kind of dialogue with Russia, some kind of agreement is needed, you see what is happening. Russian missiles have destroyed the very possibility for such statements.
That's Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Stephen Flynn is the founding director of the Global Resilience Institute at Boston's Northeastern University and joins me now. Stephen Flynn, welcome to RM Breakfast.
I'm delighted to be with you, Patricia.
Does the missile attack on Odessa jeopardize the grain deal between Russia and Ukraine?
Well, it does. But, we're still hopeful here because Ukraine is still committed to trying to keep get this going. You know, it's such an important issue. About one third of the world's grains come from Ukraine and Russia, and a lot of it is bottled up in the Black Sea. And if they can't move it out, you know, there's going to be a lot more hungry people around the world.
The deal signed by Moscow and Kyiv has been hailed as a diplomatic breakthrough. What have the two sides actually agreed to?
Well, they basically agreed to allow shipments on the Ukraine side from three ports. And then the ships will transit through the Black Sea, be inspected before they depart to go to global ports by a joint sort of arrangement with the Turkish government and under the United Nations auspices. And then on the return, they'll be checked again to make sure from the Russians insisted that there's no armaments or other things being brought back. So it's a rather elegant solution that the Turks have put together here, creating a joint command center in Istanbul that will have the Russians, Ukrainians, United Nations, and the Turks ideally sorting out the inevitable hiccups that will happen when you try to coordinate these kinds of shipments through a war zone.
Okay, and when will grain exports actually resume?
Well, they're gearing up now. I mean, there's a huge backlog. There's about 22 million tons of grains stranded in the Ukraine, and about incoming of 65 million more when it's harvested this year. And there's simply no place to put all of those, the new incoming shipments. So typically, in a normal June, a year ago, about 6 million tons of grains would move out of Ukraine to the world's markets. It's been doing about 2 million, so about one third that. It will take some doing to get it all ratcheted up again. But it's hopeful that this can start to move forward. Clearly, the Russian attack last night on Odessa was not helpful. It's not a good start. So it really remains to be seen if it can be worked out. But it's so important for the world that it does. So I'm hopeful.
About 20 million tons of grain has been trapped in Ukrainian ports. Will the agreement restore grain shipments to those pre-war levels of 5 million tonnes a month, or is that unrealistic?
Well, they have enough almost productivity to do that. The key really is the infrastructure to move it. So that's everything from the trucks and the trains to the port facilities and the shipping that will move it. There is a lot of capacity on the international shipping side. The challenge is finding ships who are willing and able to work in a war zone, making sure that that the rules basically look like enough that people have confidence in, so that the ships will go in and out and ideally start moving those grains. But it won't happen like throwing a light switch. It'll take a while to get up, to build the confidence. There's not a lot of trust, not surprisingly, amongst the partners. And it'll take a while before we start to see real impacts on prices for grains in the world's marketplace.
global food prices were already high because of COVID and the effects of climate change, but Russia's blockade of Ukrainian ports and the side effects of Western sanctions on Moscow drove up prices further. So we've really had a perfect storm. Will the resumption of Ukraine's grain exports bring prices down?
Not in the near term, in part because there's just so much uncertainty about how to make this work. But also, there's a tie here with also rising energy prices, no matter what, are going to translate into higher food prices because of the cost of moving that food. And, you know, it's the energy issue has certainly drawn much of the world's attention, and certainly the Western world's attention, rising prices at the gas pump and so forth here. But the food insecurity issue is probably the greater global security challenge. We already have about 350 million people who are what the UN describes as having acute food insecurity. That means they just don't get to bring enough calories in to subsist. And those numbers are just being notched up by about another 50 million people. And when we look at some of the world's most, you know, nasty sort of hotspots, the Somalia, Ethiopia, Yemen, South Sudan, Afghanistan, these are the places that are most dependent upon grain-based a source of their diets. So when you basically see rising food prices to be so unaffordable that people are going hungry, it feeds the civil unrest and ultimately, you know, makes the world a far less safe place. So we're all in this together, and it's a pretty messy ride we're going to be on for a bit.
It's a pretty messy ride indeed. Russia has always denied blockading Ukraine's ports, and today the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov is in Africa blaming Kyiv for laying mines at sea and Western sanctions for slowing Russia's own exports. What's your response to that?
Well, Russia is playing with food as a leverage to ideally for its position to get support from some of the dependent countries and to push back on the West. And of course, it's really putting lives at stake by doing so. The reality is that there has not been a ban on food as a part of the sanctions, but it gets a bit complicated because you can't move that food without moving on private vessels and insurance that's involved and so forth, and the finance that infrastructure that has to go in place. There's an effort to sort of clean that up a bit so that Russia is able to move its food and fertilizers, grains and fertilizers, just as the Ukraine is doing to try to get this up and running. But it's not clear how much Russia really wants to play along with this, or really that it really just wants to leverage food and food insecurity as a way to advance its diplomatic position in the world.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Stephen Flynn.
Delighted to be with you.
And that's the founding director of the Global Resilience Institute at Boston's Northeastern University, Stephen Flynn.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.